Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that book.
Welcome to 8-Bit Book Club, the only book club that makes you dumber.
Dumb.
We are your lore lords, Brian Murphy, Emily Axford, and Caldwell Tanner. And of course, joined by first time ever, Jake Hurwitz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Pleasure.
So good to have you.
What do I know you from?
Work.
Oh, right.
I'm
Jake from work.
Yeah. We worked at JCPenney together in the early 2000s. I remember that. That was awesome.
Dude, you were so good at folding shirts.
How you been, man?
I've been all right.
Did Dan Gurwitch cast you in something?
That's right.
Is that what I know you from? A Dan Gurwitch sketch? You're so funny.
Yeah, I co-wrote Beef Gurwitch.
Dan was at JCPenney and he just saw Jake and was like, you've got the look. You got to be in pictures.
All right. Well, we've got a fun book for you all this month. This was actually given to us by Bridget Santos outside of the Boston show, I believe.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thanks for coming to Medford.
Yeah.
Unless it was DC.
No, I think it was Medford.
This is great. People normally just slip us books anytime we're out. And it's nice to get one that's actually good.
Sure. Every time I'm in JCPenney, people are slipping me books.
I had a different live show. Someone gave me one of my favorite books.
Really?
Yeah, that I'd only read on Libby, so I didn't even own it.
What book was it?
It was Bear and the Nightingale.
Should we read that one instead?
No.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
It's too long.
Are there choices in it?
No.
Every book is a choice. You can. It's just a recommendation that you go in order, but you can do whatever the fuck you want.
It's true.
You can flip to any page you want.
The author's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
The author can't do shit to you.
My Goodreads is all one stars because I keep trying to eat the pages and I'm just like not enjoying the books.
I remember getting in a heated argument in college because it was like it was some media class that wasn't just film, and there was like an argument about whether or not video games were art, and somebody made the point, was like, you don't even have to follow the quests or follow the story or whatever, and like the old ass professor was just like nodding his head agreeing, and I remember being like, well, you could take a book and you could just read the back of it and then read the middle of it and then fucking use the rest of it as a use the fucking book cover as a fucking rest for your goddamn drink.
Right? Gamers rise up! Gamers rise up!
Murph just openly weeping.
Getting pulled out of the college by security. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you to Bridget for giving us a Lights on Quests Mountain.
Lights on Quest Mountain?
Yeah, oh, sorry. It's very confusing wording. Light on Quests Mountain.
Quests Mountain.
Yes.
So the mountain is light on quests. There's only going to be like one or two quests.
So that's the wild thing. I remember looking at this book and laughing out loud because it just has words that are in and of themselves mean something, but when all put together mean nothing.
Right.
Light
that's fantasy,
on
baby.
Quests Mountain. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's just D&D buzzwords.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. So this is actually an official Dungeons & Dragons book.
Wow. Ooh. And from, wait, what year?
1983.
Wow.
Pre-us.
Whoa.
Okay.
Older than me.
Pre-us. Older than us. Azul, I believe the New Jersey Devils started in 1983. Azul is the New Jersey Devils, unless they started in
82. Wow, the birth of the devil.
Holy
crap.
Light on Quests Mountain, an endless quest book, number 12. I love the name Endless Quest. It just sounds miserable.
Yeah. We're on this fucking endless quest.
It would never be a good
thing. When will this quest end?
I need to get so many bear pelts.
Yeah. I think it still sounds magical to me. I'm trying to hear endless quest as a bad thing, and it just sounds like a beautiful metaphor for life.
Well, the never end... But the... life by definition is not endless.
It's finite.
I know, but for like, sure ends. In the dreamier moments, you can feel infinity.
It does seem like something you'd say if you were having like a themed wedding. You're like, come with me on an endless quest.
That's great.
And then you cut your cake with a broadsword.
Okay.
That was how you proposed to Suze.
All right, everybody get ready.
She said, do it again.
Is everybody ready?
Said, nice try, but try again.
Okay, we're not ready. Are we ready? Okay. Attacked in the desert.
Whoa!
You are Ren.
Wait, what?
It says your name is Ren. Yeah,
holy shit. Is
Ren.
It spelled the same way?
Impossible.
It is spelled the same way.
Oh my God, it's Ren. R-E-N,
yeah. Ren. You are Ren.
He's back.
A youthful tribesman of the 25th century village of New Hope in what is left of America.
Whoa.
So this is like a futuristic post-apocalyptic thing.
Holy shit.
Wait, so
D&D official future apocalypse?
I guess that seems crazy. At number 12, they were like, we got to get away from fantasy.
But I have a feeling this might be a world that's so far in the future, it has become the past.
I agree with Caldwell. Catastrophic nuclear war centuries before your lifetime have left your land ravaged beyond recognition. Damn. The survivors of...
Poor Ren. Poor us.
Yeah. The survivors of the apocalypse face a hostile world marked by startling changes in plants, animals, and way of life. Together, you and your monkey and lizard friends...
Oh, this is great!
Yes. Oh, no. Chark and SARS.
What? Chark and SARS?
Chark and SARS?
SARS?
Okay.
The fucking disease?
It says that the lizard's name is SARS.
We didn't make this up. Yeah.
Chark, have set off on a quest across the dangerous sand lands. Suddenly, charging up a dune straight toward you, streams a howling horde of creatures that appear to be half men, half dogs, their weapons glistening in the desert sun.
Whoa.
You turn to run, but notice Chark frozen in place in horror, the vicious dog men nearly upon him. You only have a moment to make a decision.
Is Chark the monkey or the lizard? Because that's going to affect my decision.
It does say, in order, your monkey and lizard friends, Chark and SARS.
Okay, so Chark's.
Chark is the monkey.
Right. Chark, unfortunately, does have SARS.
Not to be confused, that Chark has SARS, but it's not named SARS.
Okay.
If you think that it's too late to do anything to help Chark, and you choose to run for your life, turn to page 93.
Wait a second.
Whoa, some friends.
In one page, we have introduced the most insane concept.
This is how you do it.
Not one, but two insane animal familiars.
This is Quest Mountain.
And we're also not even on a mountain. Okay.
Emily, it's not Quest Mountain.
On page one, these quests are endless.
It's Quest Mountain. It's endless.
So it's endless. We really need to pace ourselves.
And number two, if you choose to charge the ferocious dogmen and hope that by some miracle you can save your monkey friend, turn to page 140.
Okay, first off, this book did not give us a chance to develop a relationship.
You can't have a monkey and a lizard friend.
Yes. It's too much.
Are you kidding? No, it's perfect because like the monkey can sit on your shoulder and then the lizard can sit on the monkey's shoulder.
Okay, you're right. This is fucking airtight.
We have to defend Charles.
Let's edit that out.
Like, yeah.
Okay, we charge the dog men.
We absolutely charge the dog men. Okay. We've destroyed ourselves with war.
I'm wondering if technology has become indistinguishable from magic.
Okay, we've got to fight or they'll get Chark for sure. Charge them, you shout to SARS.
We charge shouting, Chark!
Yeah.
Charge to save
Charge
Chark.
Charge for Chark.
Charge for Chark.
I'm in SARS here.
Okay, so you start charging. As you charge
SARS,
down the hill.
We must charge for Chark.
On your galloping Panetto? What's a Panetto?
Panetto? Is that a type of
It sounds like an Italian dessert.
P-I-N-E-T-O.
I think it's a Italian dessert.
Is it an Italian dessert? You're on your
It's like a cannoli.
Somebody at home screaming right now trying to tell us what this is.
It's pronounced Panetto. It's a
It has a lady finger.
They're just mad at how we pronounce it, not mad that it's a...
I think it's like an Italian bread pudding.
Oh, you dig
I'm
your
lying.
Heels
I'm
into
totally
it. I'm guessing it's a horse. Okay. You see that Chark manages to snap to attention in time to pull his spear on the largest of the dogmen.
Sorry, to be clear. So we're riding a horse.
Correct.
On and we our have a shoulder lizard. Is a monkey, and on the monkey's shoulder this is a lizard. This is
but that's just utility. The monkey and the lizard are our friends, and the horse is just our mount.
Yes, correct.
Murph, did you misread it? Is it Pinto? Is it a Pinto horse?
P-I-N-E-T-O.
Okay, well, there's a Pinto horse. This is a dessert.
Pinetto, comma,
P-I-N-E-T-O. It might be pronounced Pinto. I don't know. It is not Pinto like Pinto bean.
All right, I'm seeing Pinetto wine. Let's see, Pinetto dessert.
P-I-N-E-T-O.
Search Pinetto Italian.
It says
bread.
Dig your heels into so your Pinetto side.
Oh, wow. Okay, so if you go to Il Dolcetto Cake Shop, it's not too far, actually.
Okay, so this we're just on a dessert. Uh-huh. Great, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Tasty.
The mutant, okay, so Chark is getting his head in the game. The mutant dogs don't know what to make of your spine. Oh, okay, so this is just world building. Oh. The mutant dogs don't know what to make of your spiny plant mounts.
Whoa.
So us and Chark have.
Oh, Pinetto was a made up word.
Got it. Okay. You
can't. Maybe that came from book 1 through 11.
Yeah.
This right. is book 12.
Well, yeah, you make the dessert from the Pinetto plant.
Right. Okay.
This book is wow. like really dry.
It needs to understand that we're dumbasses and don't know a lot of real words. So no. can't just be feeding us this stuff. You gotta hit me with the fucking capitalization if you're gonna give me a fake
true,
noun.
True enough, yeah.
Yeah, jeez. They hold their shields high and attack the tough plant steeds first, giving you a chance
steeds.
To use
I'm
your
gonna
spears.
I'm going to do the cry of the plant steed for
great.
Everybody.
Okay.
Like that?
Very good. Mm-hmm. Wave after wave of the ferocious dogmen fall to your weapons, and for a while you feel as if you may win. But for every one kill or drive off, two or more of the barking dogmen appear in the sand. Soon your mounts are slain.
What?
And you are forced to stand and fight. The blows of
I
their clubs.
I give CPR to my plant mount.
Dead, sorry. The Pinetto is dead.
Is Chark's life worth all of the mount's lives?
Yeah, we'll see.
We should have ran.
Plants in a desert, it's so rare. What have we done?
The beautiful. Blows of their clubs soon weaken you, and your spears are knocked out of your hands. All three of you are caught by the creatures. They put your fur skins over your mouths and tie each of you to a long pole that they drag behind them as they march off into the hot desert. The end.
The end?
Is that true?
That's 100% true.
We don't get to like try to escape from the camp?
Well, see, the thing is, as a child reading this book, you're supposed to know not to help your monkey friend.
I feel like I just got beat up by a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy.
That wasn't
you're
cool.
supposed to not help your buddy. You're supposed to not help crazy. Your pal. Yeah.
It has to start with us sacrificing our monkey friend.
Also, the fact that our monkey friend was also riding Pinetto implies that it was like a Planet of the Apes style monkey friend.
Yeah.
And like probably was sentient and could have conversations
with us. I believe that's the vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, so we,
okay, so we have to go
to
back
begin,
and leave Chark behind.
We have to begin this tale losing our dearest friend.
It was just worded wrong. Like, I feel like if the choice was let Chark fend for himself because he's a brave little monkey and he's on a plant mount, I would have been like, oh yeah, let's do that. I think Chark's got this.
It's true. I didn't know that Chark was riding a brambly Pinetto. Yeah.
I feel like what's going to happen is Chark is going to do something really courageous and join up with us later on in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It really like labels you a coward. It's like if you think it's too late.
Well, should we attempt the Heartless Chark run?
Yeah. Okay. Run, Chark, you shout. There are too many of them for us to fight. The monkey snaps to attention and barely manages to turn his Pinetto just before a dogman swings at his legs. Wild. Okay, so he just gets away. He just fucking gets away.
The book did a bad description of that scene. I didn't realize that Chark was mounted on a plant.
I love
it. If I did know that, I would have behaved differently.
I feel just absolutely...
I want a Pinetto. I want to grow one. Sounds fantastic.
Okay, yeah. It says, you run off without your plant mount. You'd surely have been caught by now. Thanks. Bad description. You start to breathe a little easier as the distance between you and the dogmen widens, though they continue the chase. So the Pinettos are faster than the dogmen. Why was this made to sound like we were leaving Chark to die? Chark is fine.
Right.
I think this is to show us that in the 25th century, in this post-apocalyptic wasteland, you have to fend for yourselves. Like, you cannot be weighed down by your companions.
Murph and I have been watching a bit of Survivor, the TV show, so we have to get into that mindset.
Yes, you're right. We have to outwit, outplay, outlast.
Yes.
Right. We should make alliances.
Okay.
Did it say how the world ended? Like, did we have anything to do with it?
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, not us. It was
no.
I think an episode of Survivor went nuts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
It started. There was an episode of Survivor that started wars.
Right. There was one where the immunity idol was plutonium.
Yeah.
Let's try and make an alliance with the Plutino. The
Pinetto?
Pinetto.
We already have.
Presumably, we do have an alliance. They're letting us ride them.
Okay, let's.
I think we need to make an alliance with the dogmen. They're obviously very powerful.
Yeah.
They see seem not willing to. They're just barking at us and have killed us and our
should we offer
monkey
them,
friend.
Should we offer them some joint treats?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Some salmon-based joint treats.
Okay, so you get to a machine. The machine starts and you hear it shout over the noise. I am skipping around a little bit because this is very long.
Very
and it has not proven itself worthy of us reading every word.
Okay, okay. So then we actually at this point now that you are actively skipping around, we can't
fully criticize the book anymore.
What we don't understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Respect mode activated.
Okay, soon again you reach the metal machine, still digging up sand. Okay, so there's something that digs around in the sand. You hide behind it on the side away from the dogmen. The thing suddenly stops digging. In some way, you feel it become aware of the dogmen, a greater threat to it than you and your friends are. The machine stirs and you hear it shout over the noise of the dogs in the language of your people.
Whoa.
More arcs to bother my gardens? Well, I know how to take care of you pests. No dog is going to mess up my plantings. Several huge moving saws emerge from its side, angled toward the dogs.
This is a self-driving Tesla, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like it.
It is a robot gardener.
Yeah.
Who's like, stay away from my plants, and then has a bunch of weapons to protect his
plants.
This
is great, and it's speaking in the language of our people, Italian.
The barking soon turns to howls. Those dogmen who aren't hurt by the blades run for their lives.
I don't like this.
Yeah. blows from the dogmen's club have dirtied the machine a bit, but haven't even dented it. The machine runs its blades through the sand, wants to clean them off, and puts them back wherever they came from. You and your friends sit on your mounts watching with astonishment. As the last dogman yelps out of sight, the machine turns to you. Page 116.
There's something interesting. We are on mounts right now, and yet we're facing off with a self-driving Tesla.
Okay, I'm seeing a picture. This machine is fucking huge. I thought it was just like a plow.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Look at that like border on that picture.
It's much more like, you know when we're in hell and...
Excuse me?
Like in the campaign?
In the campaign. And they have all those war machines.
Yeah. I believe it wants to talk to us, says SARS. Yes, but what do you say?
Wait, SARS can talk?
SARS can absolutely talk.
Yeah, can the monkey talk?
We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, but what do you say to something like this? It's rumored that many of the machines of the ancients were more intelligent than the ancients themselves, you say.
Mm. Maybe it's multiple self-driving Teslas that have collaborated and formed a alliance. To function as one large war machine.
A mind meld.
That makes sense. When they talk about the ancients, they're talking about us. That's kind of sick.
We're the ancients.
Nice. Yep.
We are the ancients.
I guess I ask it to shut itself down. I say, open up your DOS prompt.
Oh,
open up your DOS prompt,
if
please.
It's a Tesla, I try to use the handle.
Impossible.
Oh, if it's a Tesla, I'm going to fire up some Family Guy funny moment clips while I'm driving at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. ask it what it's doing here, proposes SARS. Chark boldly jumps off his mount and addresses the creature. Metal monster, what are you doing here in the desert? Very tactful, Chark, you moan, rolling your eyes. You prepare to defend yourself against the offended creature. Instead, the creature speaks to Chark in the wobbly voice of a friendly old man. Well, now, my sensors have seen everything.
Just as the ancient spoke.
Would you like to watch some epic memes on my console?
Okay, so the machine just keeps talking for a fucking long time.
Yeah, okay.
I have been programmed to plant tropical foliage in this part of the country. Funny, I used to be able to drop a seed anywhere around here and it would grow, but that was a long time ago. Any unit can see that planting here now is useless undertaking, but my programming remains intact. Is there anything else I should be doing? It asks
you. The machine
you.
Is planting seeds that will never come to fruit.
Wow.
In the desert. Wow.
In the desert. This
Isn't that what we're all doing?
Sisyphean, really.
Yeah. This is truly an endless quest.
Yeah. This is for sure an endless quest. I'm sure you're doing a fine job, you say kindly. Tell me, do you know anything about these lands? It heaves a huge echoing sigh.
This machine is actually the most interesting part.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Far.
To the north, right along the mountain ridge, is an airplane. It looks to be in good shape, too, from what I can tell.
Whoa, have we ever seen an airplane before?
Ooh. Definitely not. The creature pulls out a wet...
Is that an airplane? Is that an Italian dessert?
No.
it's a biscuit with wings.
The creature pulls out a wet fern plant in little shovel-like hands, drops it into an already sand-filled hole, pours water on it from a small metal container on its side, and pats the sands down. To the southeast is a large oasis that I made. Did a rather nice job of it, I do say so myself. Let's see, something will last in the sandbox.
But are there biscottis there?
All of us are so put off by this. I'm just looking, like, Jake has like a face of discomfort.
It's just,
I'm digging this. This is very near Automata. Yeah. I'm into it.
The old robot machine man. I think his name is Swine Flu, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, my job would be much easier if all types of desert pets would stop charging me. I have had to go on Vermin Watch nearly every day this week. It really saps the reserves of a poor ecology bot, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You don't, but you say you understand. Then you thank the machine and bid
for
well.
So we're a coward and a liar.
Anything to get out of this interaction.
Yeah, you gallop a short distance away from the machine before speaking. We've already seen the oasis, but it says this airplane, whatever that is.
Airplane.
Is right along the mountain ridge. I'd certainly like to see that, says Sars. I'd rather climb the mountain, says Chark. After all, that's where we're supposed to be headed. Why? Why are we supposed to be headed there? Number one.
To get an endless quest.
Yeah,
exactly.
True. Mm. Okay, that makes sense. If you wish to go to the oasis to rest and then on the mountaintop and its robotic installation, turn to page 131. If you'd rather take time to find out what an airplane is, turn to page 85.
I want
to
find out what an airplane is.
Yeah, I want to dip one in my gelato.
Yeah,
yeah, I want to find out what sort of delicious dessert is in store for us with the airplane.
What do you suppose an airplane is? This is... I hate this book.
Good thing it's endless.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. What do you think an airplane is? They talk back and forth about what an airplane could be.
Okay. What are their theories?
What does Sars think it is?
Really, Chark, there isn't that much here. It shouldn't be too hard to locate, you say, nudging your mount to move faster. You continue north for some time, staying inside of the mountains to your left. Gradually, the land levels out. The sand is replaced. Great. We've got to rest, you finally say. It'll do us no good to find this thing of the ancients. Great. Gets hot out. Woo, the sun sure is hot, you say, wiping your brow.
Oh, no.
Bring back the fucking dog, man. I want to be killed.
Yeah. Are we going to die in pursuit of this airplane?
Yeah, okay.
To a mountain.
Yeah, so I think we went to a mountain. The landscape changed. We start resting our head on an old log. You close your eyes and fall backwards, jerking into a sitting position. You turn and see that the ground around the log has collapsed into a huge hole. Your heart leaps into your throat as you realize how easily you could have gone in, too. Holy must be an God. Opening to something's den, and I bet it's nothing nice, Chark whispers. Notice that it's not dark down there. Something must be giving off light, Sars says. Notice that something very, very big must have made that hole, Chark shouts.
How did we sort of get into this friendship with Chark and Sars?
It's a great question.
Right. Well, I imagine we came across Sars wandering in the path. We got to know Sars, and then Sars was like, well, I'm friends with a monkey.
Yeah. You think like Sars invited us to like a board game night and like Chark was
I
there?
I think we were like in post-apocalyptic mode. We saw a lizard. We were like, well, I guess I'm going to kill it and eat it. Mm-hmm. We put our knife up to Sars' throat and then he said, wait, I'm having a board game night tonight. Do you want to come? And then we pressed it into his jugular and we said, what board game? And he said, Wingspan. And then when we took our knife away and then we became friends.
Yeah, we took our knife away and then we said, sorry. And we gave them a bunch of sorry pieces.
More like Sarzy, am I right?
We have to get away from here, insists Chark. I have a bad feeling about that hole, and I certainly don't want to climb down into it. If your curiosity is greater than your fear, turn to page 89. If you'd rather play it safe, ignore the hole and continue on toward the airplane, turn to page 65.
Wow, our choices are an airplane or a hole. It's insane.
I want to jump into the hole.
Really? Jump into the hole?
Why I feel like it really punished us for being brave at all.
Why don't we punt Sars into the hole?
Is that what you want us to do?
Yeah. Can we send Sars down?
Okay. Do we want to go down the hole?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. What's interesting about a fantasy fucking airplane?
Nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Fucking nothing.
If we have an airplane, then we can rule the 25th century.
That's something.
This is Delta Flight 63, St. Louis to Tallahassee. Yeah. I don't know, man. Show me the dog, man.
Imagine
show me a dragon.
If we reinvent FedEx.
Okay, so Sars actually is going to elect to go in by himself. So the hole is just too interesting to pass up.
So we are punting Sars.
Okay, so let's get a read on the personalities of Sars and Chark.
I know. I think we do. I think we do need to.
Well, Chark got scared of the dogmen and just stopped moving.
Okay.
And almost got us all killed.
Right.
Based on board game psychology, it's like Sars is the one who got the game, learns the game, teaches it to us.
Okay.
Right. Mm. So Sars is very, and also
he got Wingspan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a really hard game to learn. I have Wingspan, and I went to pull up a YouTube video to learn how to play Australia, and it was 16 minutes long.
Whoa. Yeah. And we're the guy that shows up late and is just like, do you guys want to just have a drink and listen to music? We don't have to learn a new thing.
I brought a deck of cards in case we want to just, you know, gin rummy.
Okay.
Yeah.
You plunge into the hole behind Sars and find yourself in a lighted tunnel.
Okay.
You look closely at the glassy smooth walls and realize that the light comes from a glowing moss that grows on them. The moss light lets you see a long way ahead.
Okay, I'm into this.
It's yeah. wonderful, Sars says, more to himself than to you. Wow. I wonder what type of creatures could build such a home. Sars gets his answer as the corridor widens into a large room. Ants. The room is filled with huge ants.
Why? Every time they introduce something interesting, they make it in the least interesting way possible.
Oh, you
who
think
could have who
giant
could have built
ants
this?
Who build labs underground? That's kind of cool. Okay,
that could be cool.
Yeah,
let's are they, I are thought they wearing... it was gonna be magical druids living beneath a desert.
Wait, Murph, are the ants wearing tiny little spectacles? So
it
we know they're smart.
That, yeah.
Okay,
it says they're wearing.
Finally,
glasses.
Something that made the plane seem more interesting.
Yeah, God. Ants, the room is filled with huge ants. Each one must be longer than Sars is tall. So is Sars tall?
Is Sars like a Komodo dragon?
They're not just, I mean, I'm, I realize there are going to be people that are like, they're skipping over. I can assure you, I'm reading everything while yeah. they're doing bits. And it was never said that Sars was super tall.
Okay, so these are like.
So are they just like pretty big?
If Sars is like the size of an iguana, I guess like they're maybe like 1 to 2 feet long.
So is this giant ant in that it's like guinea pig? Sized yeah. and that would be a
I think
giant
so.
Ant
okay yeah. Yeah.
Those glasses are going to be so small.
Okay, cool.
If mean, we kick them
yeah a few jarring. Of the quote-unquote giant insects mm-hmm. Notice you but go on nibbling on a giant leaf. So what, they built a fucking lab but they're just nibbling on leaves and not
well they might
clearly.
Be having a snack.
Okay, so they're really big but they're still eating leaves, so they're not very threatening.
I think these ants must
yeah,
have gotten
they haven't
into...
discovered burritos yet.
Okay.
Oh my God, don't tell them about Chipotle. Is there still Chipotle in this world?
Yeah,
it's 2458.
Yes, and we could be the distributor for all of the avocados if we can find that airplane.
Oh my God, that's a huge upcharge.
Okay, how remarkable, Sar says. This species has grown to a huge size and is greatly different from the ants at home. I didn't like ants there, says Chark, and I like them even less here. Let's get out of here fast. Oh, we don't have anything to worry about. These are worker ants, Sars says. What the fuck does he know?
All right,
know
so Sars is smart. He's curious. He's motivated.
Yo, wait, is this Sars? He's fucking huge.
Wait,
Sars is
a we got a picture?
Sars, he's a fucking lizard man. He's huge and jacked.
Sars
he's
is,
fucking
okay,
6 feet
the,
tall.
For the listener, Sars is taller than
Sars
us.
Is
we
tall
finally
as
got to
fuck.
A picture of Sars, and he is taller than
he's,
us.
He's got fucking 8% body
he's
fat.
He's jacked.
Oh, he's
yes.
fucking absolutely jacked.
Sars is juicy.
Sars, what's your workout? Can we ask Sars what the workout is? Are you doing calisthenics or are you lifting heavy? I need to
Sars
know.
Sars also has glasses on. He has glasses on. He's jacked.
I love this for Sars.
Okay, I'm more interested.
Whoa, so
now.
He's ripped and smart because he knows a lot about ants.
If you wear glasses, you're
smart.
Do you
smart. Wear the glasses when you work out, Sars?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Don't they get fogged up because you're like just getting so hot and heavy in there?
Yeah.
It pulls you in close. Stop asking questions.
Sars is going to turn on us.
I just want to know your diet, dude.
Yeah.
Stop asking questions.
I know you're
questions.
Eating more than leaves.
Because like I know there's a lot of protein in bugs. Is it mostly like a bug-heavy diet or what?
Pushes you up against the wall. Stop asking questions.
I kiss his huge beak.
I take off his glasses and say...
He's beautiful when his glasses are off. As soon as his glasses are off, what like he... You didn't see that he had like a nice bob of hair before, but as soon as his glasses come off, they fall beautifully disheveled in his eye.
Look
eye.
At that coif, Sars.
Sars, just... you don't need these to see what's going on between us.
I tussle his hair. I absolutely tussle his hair.
Hey, Chark, can you get rid of the ants or something?
Chark goes, I'm scared of these big ants.
I rest a hand on Sars' pectoral muscle.
It
Oops,
lingers
I dropped
there.
This.
So smooth, so nippleless because he's a lizard.
He has nipples. There's nipples in the picture.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So this is what is wait, is Chark in the picture too? Are they like both like
Chark
humanoids?
Is, Chark is in the picture. Yeah, they're both humanoids.
Okay, wow.
Does Chark have anything going on, or is it mostly
Chark is hot? You can't really see Chark. Chark's just pointing at the worker ants.
I think that we should include a picture of this for the thumbnail so that people absolutely understand how jacked
the art
I'm gonna
is
have
cursed
to make like a photo collage.
He's, yeah, the lizard is so jacked, and yeah, the glasses make him look so intelligent.
Okay, we don't care about what an airplane is. We don't care about the ants or their underground laboratory. Yeah. We care about what's happening here.
But this does make sense, because like when SARS popped out of the ground, we saw his head first. He was like, want to come to a board game night?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, I don't know.
And yeah, then, like, we tried to kill this jacked man for food.
That has to be retconned. I never would have tried to kill him.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and retcon that.
Yeah,
we
we're
going
to retcon that. We never ever tried to kill SARS.
We never tried.
I don't want that to be our history.
We were too shy to even approach.
Yeah.
SARS approached us and we blushed the entire time.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
We're blushing.
Yeah. And since like with lizards, that's like a mating symbol, because like lizards, they inflate their throat and they make it like red and puffy. So when we blush, SARS must have thought like, maybe they're into me.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that would explain how we got ourselves here.
Yeah. Okay. However, we probably should watch out for their larger fighter types. Larger than that, says Shark, aghast. Oh, yes.
Wait a second.
Larger.
The ants are twice as big as SARS.
So that is
so
really
these
big.
Ants are like 12 feet tall.
What a ride.
Yeah. Okay. So everything is big as hell here.
Okay. Great.
The machines are big. The lizard men are big. We're very small. Yeah.
This. All right. You know what? We were wrong to doubt it. This rules. I'm here
sort of.
This is kind of nice though, because it's like pre-human history is more like the age of giants, right? There was like all these giant creatures, giant lizards, and now post-human history after the self-driving cars insurrection.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, now like we're back to like humans are small and all the
and
other
the
animals
ants
are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, once the cars learned how to have sex, it was over for us.
Once the Cars movies happened,
they were too horny to work for us anymore.
They kept crashing.
Yeah. They started having recreational sex and it was all over.
The highways were just pileups.
So you feel a rush of air behind you. Okay, so bigger ants are going to start showing up. It's a warrior ant, says SARS. Smell that odor. Ants often communicate through odors. It's probably
SARS,
warning the nest about intruders. SARS is so fucking smart and jacked.
I nuzzle my nose into his pants.
Are you...
Yeah.
He holds you close. Stay here.
I'm scared, SARS.
Stay between my pecs.
Hold me, SARS.
Stay between my pecs. You won't have to look at anything.
I make a life between his pecs.
Chark, go gather leaves.
Chark leaves so you and SARS can make
love.
We're
as horny as a Tesla right now.
SARS stops abruptly, exclaiming, "Where are the intruders? We've got to get out of here. What do you suggest?" What do you suggest, Brain? The tunnel is blocked, says Chark angrily. Okay, so Chark is calling SARS like Brain as like a
okay. Well, Chark, I think that's proof that Chark thought something was happening between us and Chark. So now Chark is taking pot shots at SARS.
Right. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Let's nip this in the bud. Let's let's just tell Chark, nothing was ever gonna happen between us.
Yeah,
we
Chark,
like you as a friend.
It's a no for you, not because of what's happening with SARS, but because it was never gonna be a yes.
Randy Jackson style, that's a pass from me.
We gotta hook Chark up with a nice Tesla Model S.
Oh, that'd be good.
So hot.
Chark, you considered a horny self-driving car that caused the apocalypse.
Okay, so you start to trip over each other as you run away. You speed up and burst out of the tunnel into the open. You stop abruptly as you realize that you're on the ledge, high on the wall of a giant cavern. Ooh. You stare down into a huge room lit entirely by moss plants. The floor of the cavern is a vast expanse of delicate structure shaped like beautiful crystal buildings.
Can we say that like genre aesthetics are all over the place right
now. Yes, I agree.
Again, we're in that classic, so far in the future, it's become a fantasy past. This is, we're going to the village of the Eloi.
But I can't believe it didn't tell us that the lizard was enormous. I'm going to literally go back and reread the first page.
Hey there, Nadpoles. Did you know that about 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgot about? Truly, even if you think you have your number of subscriptions under control, you might as well check out Rocket Money. Just to be sure, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, folks. With Rocket Money, you got full control over all of your subscriptions and a clear view of those expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, so if there's anything you don't want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills lower for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They will deal with customer service and all those AI chatbots so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and it's saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. That is saving their members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, actually, I did skip the intro.
Oh.
Well, let's see.
Intro says Sars is tall and
yeah,
hot.
Maybe. Okay. Egg on my face if I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You must survive in a devastated world. In light on Quest's mountain, you are Ren, a young boy living in a possible world of the future. In this world, man has been forced to live as much as he did when spears and survival were a way of life. The people of this society are both helped and confused by the remnants they find of a civilization far more advanced than inhabitants of the 20th century can imagine. Legend says that long ago, so long that no one you as Ren know was living then, terrible war swept the civilized world, leaving vast wastelands where no man can live.
Was it love, actually?
Yeah.
Considering it was all the self-driving.
Okay, before the wars began, man was ruler.
It was a wargy.
Man was ruler of the earth, but one result of these terrible wars was that creatures rose from the ashes. The genes of the earth's animals and plants were altered until strange new creatures arose. Creatures of awesome power and fierceness and often great intelligence. Courageous member of your village has returned from the far north to boast of an intelligent race of lizards, which is starting to build its own civilization. Two members of a 15-member Southlands expedition has returned with evidence that huge machines are building a society from the ashes of an old one. Robots function in a way no man ever put into their circuit. Its villages like yours have sprung up in areas least damaged by the wars. Man no longer rules. He must share the land. With caution and luck, he exists.
Okay, so that's pretty important.
This is all pretty important. How did I miss all of this?
Okay, so
how did I miss literally all of this?
I hate to say it, but Murph, you're my skipper. You're
for
a skipper,
sure.
Man.
No, dude, I don't even know how I started where I started. What the fuck happened?
Okay, let's start from the top.
I'm literally so confused. I can't wait. Okay.
Oh no.
This is so stupidly laid out.
This is not my fault.
I thought it was my fault.
Okay, not my fault. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of different ways to read a book, as we've established. And
no,
we're just doing it our own way.
Okay, so check it out. Ready? I'm going to show all of you that I'm not dumb.
Okay.
I might be dumb, but I'm not dumb in this way. Check it out.
Yeah.
Page one.
Gotcha.
Attacked in the desert. The first page that I read.
Right.
Gave me an option to either help Chark or not help Chark, okay?
Yes.
So it tells me specifically to either go to page 93 or go to page 140. Oh, wow.
Was that apparently, the preview?
That was a preview. Apparently, I was supposed to ignore that, which is not how adventure books usually work.
That's nuts,
usually not give you a choice. It would just say something like, the choice is yours. On to Quest's Mountain.
Yeah.
The next page.
Oh, my God.
The page that says who the cover art is by and who the book is written by.
Okay.
And then it has the dedications. And then it has the setup of the whole world.
Holy shit.
And then gives you different choices.
Wait, so we're deep into it.
We started in medias res.
Ignore Chark run.
Yeah, this is fucking wild.
Look, I don't think we missed anything. I don't think we missed that much. I'm caught up.
No,
what a wild way to set up the book. Because at one point we did say that we had already seen the Oasis. but we hadn't. So that's what it's referring to.
Okay.
Is it thought that we were going to skip the first page, I guess?
I just thought it was normal to be that confused during these books.
Okay.
Endless distress.
Okay.
Yeah.
You stare down into a huge room lit entirely by moss plants. The floor of the cavern is a vast expanse of delicate structures shaped like beautiful crystal buildings. Far across the room, some worker ants seem to be spitting out a white liquid that hardens into beautiful crystal shapes.
Okay. We're going to be rich. We're going to be rich.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure it's not us looking at SARS?
They're gunking crystal shapes. You watch as an ant puts the finishing touches on a lacy spire. The spectacle of the strange ant city takes your breath away. I wonder if there was more context for Ant City.
The spectacle of the ant city takes your breath away.
Yeah, okay.
Is there something else that's maybe taking our breath away here?
Yeah.
Yeah, even with danger behind you, you pause and wonder at the sight. But then
that's
you remember your peril.
That's because Sars is behind us and he's dangerous for us.
We've got to move, you say, hurrying the others along the ledge that encircles the upper level of the cavern city.
Why do we have to move?
It doesn't say.
We don't know.
Oh, we have to move because we essentially came out of a tunnel with a warrior ant that we smell chasing us.
Great. Okay, great.
You pass several tunnels opening off the ledge before you look behind and find that more monster ants have joined the chase. Looking ahead, you realize that still more of them are on the ledge in front of you. Your path is blocked. Quickly, you glance into the two tunnels nearest you. One is dark and silent. The other is lit by the strange moss, and you think you hear the sound of running water somewhere inside. Which tunnel
will you enter?
Okay, if you choose,
we have to go skinny dipping. It's the only way we can survive.
We almost went one adventure book without falling in love with our sidekick, but it damn well
your clothing. I will too.
Actually, this has all worked out perfectly because if we had known he was a lizard man from the beginning, we might have gotten too familiar with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, like, that's
true. The shocking reveal.
We started as friends, so it's so organic.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to try to skinny dip with Sars.
This feels like the most solid relationship we've ever had.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
I think the other ones have all been desperate, but this one's for real.
We've all been toxic, but this one feels real.
Let's do this right. Let's actually do this right.
Yeah.
His love is infecting us.
Like the world ended, but it's also beginning again.
Right.
Right.
We found love in a lonely place.
Yeah.
Do you think he can run across the water like some of those lizards carrying us in his arms?
Wow. He's too jacked.
Let's jump into
He's too huge.
Yeah, too
remembering Sars' fear of darkness. Is Sars afraid of darkness?
Wow. He's opening up to us.
Yeah. You rush headlong into the lit tunnel. It immediately opens up into two caverns, one on each side of the passage. Both caverns are filled with neatly stacked boxes. Wait,
we're moving in together?
I thought we were going to the water. All right. Yeah, okay. There is water. Okay, we're getting there. Then you spot a river flowing between the stacks of boxes into the darkness beyond.
Quick, skinny dip. It's the only way to save ourselves.
Quickly, we have to take our bathing suits off to be quick.
Quick.
Disrobe, everyone. Oh, Chark, you're fine.
Chark, you're good. You're good.
Chark, you're good.
You're fine. Good. Yeah, yeah. Do whatever you want, Chark. I don't care.
See if you can find a key fob.
Sars, we should grease ourselves up just to be slick so that we're so slick in the water.
Chark, go get the grease.
Quickly choosing between the giant ants or the water, not much of a choice as far as you're concerned. You shout, we've got to jump. You grab one of Chark's arms. Sars grabs the other. Wait, okay. We don't want... This is confusing.
We don't want to get possessive either.
So we're trying to make Sars jealous. Yeah.
Let's pretend that we don't even notice.
It was organic at first.
We are getting toxic now.
Yeah, it was organic at first, but now we have to make something happen.
We got to warm up that cold.
Because honestly, if something was going to happen, it probably would have happened in the oasis that we don't remember fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. On those first couple
it was
pages.
Right. We would remember it if something happened.
That oasis was such a blur. I mean, like, who can remember that night?
A swift current grips you and sends you careening, but you manage to keep afloat. Your legs and arms scrape against the underwater rocks, but you are swept away before you can catch hold of anything. Suddenly, you feel yourself thrust out of the water, and you struggle to remain on the surface. Opening your eyes, you find yourself in a pool being pounded by the spray of an underground waterfall.
Like swept away, thrust, pounded. We're not the ones making these sexual. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's all here. It's all
not our fault.
Absolutely all here. Okay, looking frantically around for Chark, you find him clinging to a nearby rock.
Make a big show about saving Chark.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We run over so bravely.
Chark, we got you.
We're so strong. We go over, we save Chark. Then you realize that you can see him because more of a glowing moss lines the cave walls. What's this? Says Sars, fingering a chunk of metal floating giant.
We don't even bring that energy. The energy is there. We merely reflect
it. It's like a Tesla autopilot.
We look at the metal jealously.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy.
Is it a wedding ring?
Okay. Swirling in the water around you, you are countless. You find countless more bits of curved metal, which appear to have been broken off something. You see that some of the chunks have washed up onto the sandy beaches surrounding the lake.
Is it an airplane?
Yeah, let's see.
I look for first class.
Yeah. Are there any Delta Biscoffs?
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a few Delta Biscoffs.
We love Italian dessert. We're looking for the Biscoff.
Here's the confusing thing. There's also JetBlue blue chips.
What? Oh my God. The planes collided.
Oh my God.
So the planes could have collided.
Or were they self-driving?
The planes were making love in the sky.
Or were they self-driving planes that then got the sexual urge?
Yeah.
Which led to the apocalypse.
These planes were pumping.
Aerial coitus and exchanged chips.
Or was there a being so great in the past that had JetBlue Mint and Delta
It can't
Diamond?
Be. It's never happened. No. It's never happened.
Really? I don't know.
It's impossible.
Are you referring to the Skylander?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe someone achieved both statuses and the world imploded.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, since they were riding on so many planes, they just depleted the ozone. That's up.
More likely.
Yeah. Okay. As you make your way to shore, you say, I wonder where these things come from. Wherever the stream that feeds this lake comes from, answers Sars. Thanks, you say sarcastically.
We say sarcastically.
Does he like it?
And where might that be?
We're trying out senses of humor to get Sars' attention.
Sars
do you like them rye?
Sars
do you
looks
want-
down and says, this isn't you. This isn't us.
Quick, we need to think of a pun.
Shark laughs so hard at it, though, which is interesting.
I don't want to see that.
Thanks, you say sarcastically. And where might that be? Well, the stream comes from the mountains, Sars replies matter-of-factly. How in the world do you know that? Shark asks, his curiosity reviving after finding himself in water.
Ooh, jealous much?
Shut up and kick one. Shut up.
The water is cold, much colder than this cavern, so the lake must be fed by a mountain stream, maybe from a glacier. Sars is so fucking smart.
God, that's
so
really
smart.
Shit,
so sexy.
I blush.
Careful. You blush too much.
I try to hide it. I just dunk my head in the water and say I'm so thirsty. But not for you. I blush again and dunk my head in again.
Should we send Chark on like a smart water run? Just say like we're really craving some smart water.
Yeah.
Yeah. This glacier water is no good. Can you go buy us water in a plastic bottle?
Yeah. Essentia or bust.
Yeah. Okay, so it shouldn't be too difficult to find. Emerging from the water, you and your friends separate to look for the stream. You soon find a gently flowing, shallow stream coming from a high tunnel. You turn to tell your friends, but spot Shark among the metal rubble on the beach. He's holding a fist-sized oblong object with a small ring on the top.
Is it a plastic water bottle?
You remember...
maybe one of those metal aluminum bottles.
I was going to say.
Wait, you said a ring on the top?
Yeah.
What kind of ring?
It's a grenade, is this, I assume.
Or is it a, are they proposing?
Oh, shit. Could be a grenade or an engagement ring. Or who could know?
Who could know, but it's going on our finger one way or another.
With a ring on the top. Either way,
oh my God.
You remember your uncle telling you about such a thing that it was very dangerous. Our young uncle told us about this.
Love is dangerous. It's
okay.
True.
Yeah. Chark, throw that thing away. It's going to explode. You watch the
monkey. Uncle being like, marriage is a dangerous thing. It really is on brand.
You know what? There's a reason that they put rings on grenades, because you put a ring on your finger, it's all going to blow up.
But also grenades, too. They're dangerous, too. So don't get married and don't pick up a grenade. Okay, so
I want you to meet my friend Sars.
Chark throws it away. You watch the monkey hurriedly toss the thing far over his shoulder. Then you dive at Sars, knocking his large form to the ground. You throw yourself.
Sars, hold me!
You throw yourself on top of him as a massive explosion rocks the cavern.
Sars, I saved you!
Wow. You see, Sars tenderly holds you for just an extra beat in between his massive
I take
pets.
A deep sniff.
It smells of
I get
old
into
spice.
The nape of his neck and take a deep sniff.
Yeah,
Old Spice, where did you find this relic of the ancients?
There was... a destroyed Walgreens.
You're so resourceful. Yeah.
You open your eyes to see sun filtering through the dust and falling dirt. I found the way out, guys, Chark says sheepishly.
Shut sheepishly up.
Yeah. Chark, go ahead then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
If you found the way
I
out.
I think you did find the way
I'm
out.
Exactly where I want to be.
Yeah. Thanks, Chark. So why don't you see yourself out, dude?
Yeah. Chark, in his element again, leads the way up through the opening carved out by the explosion to solid ground. I hope our panettos are still here. Remember them?
God, how can you be thinking about Italian dessert at a time like this?
It also, yeah, the beginning of the book presumably told us what these mounts were.
No, we did it right. Yeah.
We absolutely did it right. I feel bad for whoever wrote this book because I guarantee this was an error by like the publisher something or by someone pushing it and just like, we really need everyone to understand that this is a choose your own adventure. By page one, they need
the way
to
it
know
looks
they can
is
choose.
Like a straight up publisher.
It looks like a mistake.
I think it might be.
If you do that, they're going to fall in love with SARS too early.
We need tall SARS reveal.
Okay. You find your plant steeds a little wilted, but otherwise unharmed. So just waiting for us. Okay. Chark skips up to his and gives it a hug. We need rest.
I feed mine some bottled water.
Gratefully gurgles it down. You glance down.
Nectar of the ancients. Yeah.
You glance down at the hole that started it all.
You taste that, bud? Those are electrolytes.
I'd rather not be ant food. Let's ride away and look for someplace else to rest. You all get flasks of water out of your packs, give some to your panettos, and set off across the desert waste. So that was all.
I just realized that it's been a while since we've made
this
a choice.
This was the choice that we made just jumping down the hole.
Yeah.
This is all our fault for going down the goddamn hole.
Okay.
Soon you find another group of boulders and scout the area. Finding it safe, you camp there for the night. In the morning, you return to the oasis. Planning to head for the mountaintop.
God, it always comes back to the oasis, huh?
Wow.
I guess. Oh my God.
What do you think? Like, all right, since we're never going to know, what do you think happened between SARS and us at the oasis?
I think we got like buzzed on smart water.
We all got, we were chock full of electrolytes. And we kissed.
Because in the future,
it was the alkaline.
Their past, but our future, they invent alcoholic water.
Okay, so there are a ton of plants in the oasis.
Maybe it's almost like where all the plant creatures gather, like a watering hole for the plant creatures.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So Chark,
that's a panetto party.
Yeah, it's
They're naming their panettos. I have a feeling this is something we were probably supposed to read earlier and now I've jumped back. Chark says, I think I'll name mine Daywind after the area where we found it. Wait. Okay, this is not...
No, it's okay.
Well,
it's okay.
Can we just say whatever?
Yeah. Oh,
really dismissive. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say that's nice and then sort of angle our back to Chark. To sort of cut
so, SARS,
Chark,
what are you going to name your panetto? We should do matching names.
What is SARS name his panetto?
SARS says to Chark, you could call it Dead Duck after its careless master if you walk much closer to that shooting cactus. Sar says, whoa, quickly throwing a dead branch
we
at a large thorny
we laugh way too hard because we don't fully get the joke, but we want...
Yeah,
we
don't
Sars
know
to think we
God,
have a sense
this
of humor.
Cactus is that he's talking about.
Wait a second. You're that's so funny. So
you're
funny.
Always talking about cacti, Zinger.
I knew you were smart and strong. I didn't know you were funny. Wow. The
really?
Trifecta.
Yeah. Okay, we must find a safe place to rest.
Such
blah,
a
blah.
Good idea, Sars.
You two go ahead.
I laugh really hard and grab my own ass. Ooh.
I hold up a hand for a high five, and as soon as he high fives me, I do the in between
it,
fingers.
Yeah, that makes grab. Sense. Yeah, and then I cross my
high
arms.
Five. Gotcha.
Your claws are sharp.
Gotcha forever.
You two go ahead and rest while I stand the first watch.
I propose with a good face.
Wait, who's standing watch?
I don't know. Okay, we better leave at sunset.
Can we stand watch but just stare at SARS the entire time? Not looking at the door, not looking at our surroundings. Just watch him sleep.
I'll be first watch, just assuming that means looking at SARS. And his beautiful goddamn glistening body.
The way his chest rises and falls.
My God. Okay, yeah. As your friends sleep, you explore further. You can't go too far away. Your friends are counting on you to protect them. You can't take your eyes off SARS.
We have to find something for SARS.
Walking.
We have to find a gift.
Okay, walking.
We crack a stiff smart water.
It's so stiff. Why there were so many smart waters left over
it
at
tastes
Walgreens.
Just like water, but it has 45% alcohol.
Okay. So you're looking around. There's a lot of flowers. One patch of flowers in particular catches your eye. You bend over closer and look at one yellow bloom more closely. The blossom grows from a bulb-like stem and has five thick, wavy, bright yellow petals that look like the fingers of a hand. Curious but cautious, you stand on one side and use your spear to poke the blossom. No danger, seeds or rays shoot out, but a gooey yellow sap oozes from the wound. When you bend to touch the fluid, a searing pain shoots through your head, throwing you to the ground.
Ow, SARS, help me!
SARS! I'm scared, SARS!
Through growing darkness, you hear a voice. Human, you have thoughtlessly killed some of our number. Your race has always been thoughtless.
Oh, no.
The voice bypasses your ears and speaks directly to your mind.
The plants are smart.
What?
Who are you? What are you? You ask as if in a dream. We are the collectors of light. Your ancestors indirectly created us in their great struggle many passings of the sun ago. Because of the debt that we owe your race for our beginnings, we will give you the gift of understanding. Watch and learn. You see yourself among the yellow flowers. This is all over the place.
Okay.
Which you know are the collectors of light. Then the vision shifts and you are looking across a desert beyond the oasis. But in the blink of an eye, the desert changes to a cool scene of green fields filled with sweet plants. Plants are tended by metal creatures that you recognize as belonging to the ancients. You travel over these fields to a huge village inhabited by the ancients. They look just like the humans of your village. You could live like this again, says the voice in your dreams.
Okay.
Then you see huge arrows of metal flying toward the dream village. The arrows explode and immense fires of unimaginable force destroy the village. Okay, so you're seeing
Tesla's
like
fucking.
Yeah, so you're seeing Tesla's fucking and blowing up.
Oh, do you think it was like an Odysseus thing where like one of the Tesla's wives was like taken across the sea to marry like another king?
Oh, I didn't know that I thought that they were just recklessly fucking.
Okay, so the self-driving cars all fuck each other until they explode. This is how it started. You will see how it would end. The dream blurs and you find yourself. Oh my God, we're never gonna make
Let's
a choice
take
again.
Some
There's
of this...
two more pages.
Wait,
of this.
I'm making a choice right now. We're gonna smear. We're gonna be like, this is a lot, and we're gonna smear this nectar on Chark so that
Grease
Chark is like really engaged with this, and Chark can be in charge.
Yeah, that's
this.
Great. Yeah. Oh, we're sending Chark to the movies.
Oh, Chark, I thought.
And then we'll focus.
I thought this
on
was gonna be SARS.
Our love story.
Yeah. Yeah, and just be like, yeah, SARS. I had the craziest dream. Can I tell you about my dream?
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Yeah. Okay. Suddenly, the forest around the village parts, and hundreds of metal monsters of the ancients move through your town, destroying everything that gets in the way. Your father moves towards one with his weapons and is knocked to the ground. Father, run! You shout. The image fades, and you hear the voice again. This is the future that might happen. You must see that it does not.
Ooh.
Okay, so the machines are going to kill us. How can I do that? Go to the Mountain of Light and end what has begun there, or we'll all be doomed. Did we just get the quest?
I think we did. We just got the call to action.
What?
The light.
It's okay, though. You know what? It's not terrible, right? Because we've had time to really understand where we are.
Okay, so we wake up our friends. We say we got to go to the mountain. Pinetto's... Okay,
no, we wake up SARS. We say, SARS.
Yeah.
SARS,
don't wake up
SARS.
Don't
SARS, wake up
we have to go.
We have to go to the mountain.
Go, SARS.
We have to go.
There's no time to bring Chark.
I just don't want to wake up Chark.
Okay, you guys leave. You guys leave
sleeping
Chark.
So peacefully.
You see the machines begin to close in on the oasis as Chark sleeps through it.
I'm just going to take all of Chark's smart water.
Yeah. I'm just going to take his water and his food. He'll be fine without it. He's in the oasis.
Don't you remember the way he saved himself amongst the dogmen?
He'll be good.
He's
he'll be
really
good.
Resourceful.
I think he has other water somewhere.
Okay, so we go to, we get our faithful Panettos. Shark's eyes well with tears.
Whoa!
Okay,
Shark,
we can't take
that.
We can't take the Shark catches
Oh, good, Shark. You
guys
made
almost
it.
Left us. Thanks for carrying
no,
my
we
pack.
Didn't.
Thanks for carrying my pack for me.
Yeah, we just wanted you to get a little extra shut eye.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah. Wow.
Just as we planned, you're here now.
Okay, so we have to leave our Panettos behind because we have to climb up a cliff. Okay, no.
Honestly, good riddance.
Yeah.
I really am like.
You don't
so
like the clam mounts?
I've had too much dessert.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, right. The dessert mounts. We're back on that. You and Sars follow using rope soon. Even Chark has a hard time finding handholds, but the monkey would never admit it. I told you this would be easy and fun, Chark says gleefully.
He's so closed off.
As Chark smiles down at you, the rock in his right hand breaks loose from the cliff. He scrambles frantically to find something else. Chark, you scream as Chark comes towards you.
Hollowly. Chark.
No, I reach
Chark, look out.
Without extending my elbow fully, I reach my hand out.
I got you.
We grease our hand with butter.
I'm emotionally pressing clothes on the elevator door.
Sars whips out his powerful tail and bats the thin airborne monkey like a ball.
Right. It's so powerful.
Perfect. Where? To his death?
Okay. When Chark hits the cliff next to you, you grab him quickly, holding him until he finds a handhold. Okay, so gets back. Thanks, Sars. He gasps after some time. The lizard shrugs but looks pleased. The rest of the climb passes quietly, pulling yourself onto a ledge. You see in dismay that more mountain stretches ahead of you.
It's okay, endless.
It's a good chance for us to be like, so Sars, like, what do you kind of see as your future? Like, once we're done with this quest.
Once we finally get the Teslas to stop fucking and settle down.
Yeah, like, what do you see? Like, are you thinking kids?
I don't know. I guess I've been so... into mastering my own body and mind that I haven't really thought that much about the future. I'm just kind of present.
Right.
I look at the hole in his jeans where his tail juts out.
I look at the bolts where his tail is. blah, blah, blah. Where's the light? Well, we're certainly not at the top yet. You look around and then point up the mountain. It looks as if there's a lake up there. You see blue water sparkling through the trees in the late afternoon sun.
Quick, skinny dip! Sars, we have to skinny dip.
Sars. Oh, my God. Chark, I hate to say this. We left our Nutri-Grain bars at the bottom of the mountain.
Okay, so please turn to page 56. So we go to bed. We awaken the next morning.
Yeah, we have slept a lot in this book.
Yeah.
Getting closer and closer to Sars every
night.
Dude,
I've skipped a lot. There are five single-spaced pages before we make another choice.
So, guys, I hope you're really excited because Campaign 3 is going on hold.
This is truly an endless quest. Okay. All right, let's head for the lake. Okay, so we're going for the lake. You look around and see more of the shiny chunks of metal in the water and washed up on the shore. Something or someone is dumping them more deliberately, or they're being washed into the lake by a mountain stream, you say. Blah, blah, blah. You begin to walk around the shore of the lake with Chark skipping on ahead. You soon arrive at a swift mountain stream. Dozens of the metallic chunks swirl in the eddies. Following the bank upstream isn't as easy as you had anticipated. Rocks, dead branches, blah, blah, blah. The plant life is getting rather scarce, says Sars. I'm starting to get bored by Sars, you know?
No.
Speak for yourself.
Really?
Speak for yourself. I throw myself into Sars.
Okay, so you stop accepting the need for a short rest from the hard climb and thin air. Give me fucking rest.
What do you think these chunks of metal are? Do you think they're the remains of an airplane or like a FedEx truck?
Maybe.
Or maybe it's just like, you know what it is? I bet it's a lot of tinfoil from the Chipotle franchise.
Could be any of those things. Yeah.
So we should be collecting all this tinfoil so that we can like recycle it for the burritos we're going to be wrapping.
Okay.
When us and Sars start our Chipotle franchise together.
So Sars teaches us about...
Have you ever thought about kids or franchising a Chipotle?
Sars.
Right, which is kind of like a kid in and of
Sars
itself.
Sars teaches us about glaciers.
We teach him about making burritos.
Okay.
I get behind Sars and I show him how to roll a burrito. around his arms.
Nice and tight, just like that. You really have to pack it in.
The beans are going to explode out if you're not careful.
All right. You want to fill it up, Sars.
Halt, where do you think you're going? Rasps a low, gravelly voice. It's just us walking around the lake.
To a shining future at a Chipotle restaurant.
A huge rabbit jumps down from a boulder and lands a few paces in front of you.
Oh, no.
Sars!
I hide behind Sars.
Hold me.
It's even taller than nervous. Sars.
Interesting. I peek out curiously from behind Sars.
Is it a jacked rabbit?
Well, yeah, it's
this is a test.
Rabbit.
This is a test from heaven.
Shark turns to run. Not so fast, the creature bellows. It sounds
vicious. Let him go. Let him go.
That you all stop in your tracks.
Shark, save yourself. Run.
Give me something and I won't hurt you. It laughs viciously, rubbing its paws together. Your mind runs through your scanty provisions Searching for something suitable to give it. You think about your Nutri-Grain bars that you left at the bottom of the mountain.
We look at Char's and we say, I think we know the only option. And right. We just push Char's forward.
Char, yeah. Okay. Before you come up with anything, you hear a loud boom. The rabbit presses its paws to its floppy ears, jumps straight into the air, and then falls to the ground with a dull thud. To your utter amazement, your tormentor has become a mass of quivering, babbling fur and flesh. Oh, that's a bad look.
Whoa.
Oh, they're at it again. Make them stop. No more noise, please, it cries pathetically. The creature wrings its paws and babbles on, no longer aware of your presence. You look at the others and see Chark's fear turn to disgust. Where's the noise coming from, you ask? The rabbit ignores you and continues to wring its paws and whimper. Oh, quit whining and answer the question. The rabbit looks up and swipes one gigantic paw across Chark's spear. The long metal spear bends in half and hangs limp. The rabbit turned it to rubber, wails Chark, hopping backward toward you and Sars. The evil sneer returns to the rabbit's whiskered face. Of course I did. And what's more, there are hundreds like me where I come from. When I return, I'll tell them to raid your village. You turn to look at each other. Is this cowardly rabbit telling the truth?
We're just running from fucking ants to rabbits. This book is not adventurous at all. Yeah. We're sleeping 14 hours a day.
We've slept three times.
Yeah.
It went in the wrong order. We haven't made it. This is our first choice, if we believe the rabbit or not. I don't believe the fucking rabbit.
I think we send Chark as an envoy to the rabbit village.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, we'll gift you a ward.
So either
for peace between our nations.
We think the rabbit's telling the truth and we must go home and warn our village, or we think the rabbit is lying and you wish to carry on your quest.
Let's just go home.
If we go home at this point, it's over. So I guess make your choice. We're going to carry on, right?
I guess we're going to carry on.
We got to finish this out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We send Chark home.
The rabbit's lying, says Chark. Let's move on. My name is Larry, the rabbit says testily.
What?
My name is Larry.
This was in 1983, but it feels like it's an AI-generated book.
Okay.
It was made by that planting robot.
It was made by the horny Teslas.
Okay, so the rabbit...
I've been working on something. I want you to see it. This is they're laying in bed together.
The Zards are so hot.
Larry admits that he was lying.
Right.
Great.
Okay.
And so we are going to continue. I'm still puzzled about the glacier, Sars says slowly. You can tell from the scratches on the rocks that there was once a glacier here, but the climate hasn't changed.
Okay.
So it still
okay,
be
wait.
Here.
Sars keeps coming back to the glacier.
So machines must have sucked it up.
No. I'm not thinking plot-wise. I'm thinking characterization-wise. Is he trying to tell us something? Is that him saying, like, the glacier, I want it to be just you and me.
I want to go on a trip to Iceland with you. Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have they're very, very encouraging of tourism. So flights are cheap.
Yeah.
What's an airplane? Okay.
If we got the airplane, we could go to Iceland with SARS.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about an airplane. Do they have Chipotles in Iceland? Jake, you've been, right?
There was no Chipotle when I was there.
All right. This is perfect. So, this is all coming together.
Okay, we've got our future planned out. So we get to the top of the mountain. I think we finally made it to the top. Well, let's go see what's in these openings, you say. You walk to the opening on the left. It's dark inside, so you step in a bit farther. You feel hot air and hear loud noises somewhere in the distance. You leave the tunnel and go to the center opening. In contrast, this tunnel is blindingly bright. When you step inside, you feel cold air and notice an almost eerie silence. Going over to the opening on the right, you see a moving belt of some sort mounted on a cavern ceiling. The belt continues on out the opening above the stream. As you are pondering what it might be, you hear a clanking and whirring noise. You duck just in time to avoid being hit by something whizzing past on the belt and out the opening. It's a metal robot! It rounds a corner of the belt and sails out above the stream. You stand up, dust yourself off, and say, strange, I have a feeling that the light comes from up here somewhere. We're going to have to investigate these openings.
Okay.
Yeah, but which one, says Chark? If we go into the hot, dark opening.
Yeah, we do.
Several advantages.
Come on, Sars. I have an idea.
Babe, I love your book, but sometimes I feel like you're just giving the metaphors away.
If we go into the cold, bright cave, at least we'll be able to see.
Hot dark.
And if we enter the third opening, the one the robot shot out from, we'll be able to investigate that. You dive to the ground as another robot shoots out of the opening and down the metal belt. Which entrance will you enter?
I'm sorry. All of my work is so sexually charged because I love you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's asking which opening we want to enter.
We do in the dark, hot opening.
Yeah, heart, all right. Hot and dark.
We're going into the hot opening.
Quick, we have to skinny dip. SARS.
Okay. Tits robe, SARS.
Plunge me. Plunge me in the hot, dark canal.
We skinny dip into the deep.
It'll be too hot for our clothing here.
Okay.
Chark, watch the stuff.
Chark peers into the opening. Boy, listen to that noise, he says. He disappears inside for a moment, then pokes his head back out and says, there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. You follow Chark in and look over his shoulder deep into the tunnel. I think you're right. SARS will lead you until we get closer to the light. The lizard nods his head. You take his arm and step into the tunnel.
Yeah,
you can't make out what's causing the sound, but the noise gets worse with each step. The heat is intense. SARS stumbles, and you hold his arm more firmly.
Oh, God.
Your eyes begin to adjust to the darkness. Is there really a light at the end of the tunnel? You're no longer sure. You can now see that the dirt walls of the tunnel are remarkably smooth. Suddenly, you're blinded by a bright light. You close your eyes against the glare, then open them slowly behind parted fingers. You discover that you are standing on a platform above a large room. The noise in the room is even louder than it was in the tunnel. You see now that it comes from a whirring of wheels, a clanking of metal. Everywhere are huge metal boxes with dials, blinking lights. Okay, so robot room, cool. Your mouth drops open in wonder as you survey the room. Chark pulls at your sleeve.
Stop.
Ren, he says. I forgot her name is Ren.
Not now.
Not now. We're looking...
Okay, SARS is looking faint and leaning on our arm.
And he needs a Nutrigrain bar.
And you forgot them at the base of the mountain.
Yeah, it was three rests ago. Ren, he says through clenched teeth, there's a man with a yellow hat over there. Duck, you hiss. Too late, you were seen. Robots advance towards you from all sides and hustle the three of you down a staircase to where the man with the yellow hat.
Whoa.
Isn't that that's curious, George?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, this is Chark's dad.
Chark's dad.
Okay.
Chark, do you know him?
Yeah, that's my dad. He built these machines to kill us.
Oh my God, Chark.
You've got to make up with him. You need to reconcile with your father and live here with him.
I think he's a bad guy.
Seems like you need one-on-one time with him.
I think he's making machines that suck up glaciers.
SARS, let's give them some... Give them some privacy.
Let's give them space.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have to reconcile. He seems bad.
Chark, just give us your sky miles.
Okay. Wait, was Chark the one with the mint and diamond?
Or was
all
the
along?
Man with the yellow hat the
oh,
one?
Oh shit. Man in the yellow hat waits on the main floor of the room. The robots leave you and disappear beyond the boxes. Welcome, says the man. We don't have many visitors. Removing his metal hat, he runs a
It's a metal yellow hat.
Whoa. Oh, okay. Cool. So it's like he's got like a construction hat on. Removing his metal hat, he runs a hand through thick, well-groomed white hair. Light overalls fail to find his tall, well-muscled
No, no.
I drop SARS hand.
Emily.
Drop SARS hand.
No.
Holy shit.
Please.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Wait,
she's
sorry,
right.
Dude, your overalls can't keep up with your body.
He owns a fucking machine room?
Shit. His toughest challenge is
he already has his own here. He has his own spot. This place isn't exactly on the beaten path, says Chark with a shrug. May I ask what you are doing here, inquires SARS. The program must be complete. The man says without emotion. Program?
Don't
what
be
program,
rude, SARS.
Yeah, SARS.
Yeah, SARS, chill.
Is this about me dropping your hand?
The program is the program. It is all there is, he says simply. The program is nearing completion. In 18 hours, our robots will advance on their targets. Then the cities and opposing governments will fall before us. What in the world is he talking about, whispers Chark. I'm not sure, but he's not talking about anything in our world, you say with certainty. I don't like this, exclaims Chark. I'm getting out of here. He turns and heads
to the fire.
Such a coward, Chark. Talk to your dad. Confront your father.
Two robots quickly roll to his side and force him to stop. You look at the tall man and realize that he is controlling the robots. You signal SARS, and the two of you grab your spears and lunge towards the man.
Wow.
Your spears enter his body, but he doesn't even flinch.
Oh my God.
No blood flows from the openings made by the
what?
Spears.
He's so well muscled.
He's not human, you scream. The white-haired man spears. speaks on, but you don't hear. Your reflexes take over and you continue to lunge with your spear.
Is this what happened to Santa Claus?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Oh, Santa right. Origins.
He's magic, yeah.
He was immortal, so like all the other humans would have died out and he wouldn't have had gifts to deliver to anyone else. So this is what he did with his spare time.
This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man's words become slower and more garbled with each thrust. Finally, he stops speaking altogether and his shell falls shapelessly to the ground. You stand and stare, awed at what has happened. Just as you realize that you'd better get out of here, you and your friends find yourself surrounded by a group of robots. They appear bewildered, but are quite firm about whisking the three of you off to a small dark room.
What?
As the door closes behind you, you hear Chark whimper. You feel fear begin to take hold of you too. Something presses into your leg. You reach down and your hand feels a familiar shape. It's a bone. You wonder if someone else came to find the reason for light on Quest's mountain and never went home. So there's a skeleton in the cell with you.
Okay, yeah.
The end.
What?
You know what? This is what we get. This is what we get for not being faithful to SARS. We got put in this room.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you can check us out on our Patreon. I think we're going to do Goosebumps or something. Patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
I'll just go ahead and plug Dungeon Meshi again. It's really good. They made an anime out of it. I love it so much. It's about adventurers who eat monsters in a dungeon. It rules. Go watch it.
Sweet. And you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CHMRSME, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Eaxford's Emily, and at Jake Ritz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We SARS. The youth of the nation.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that.
Oh, folks, it is the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Jeff C, Daniel G, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Bryant, the Microwaved Salmon and Bribery Guy. Vincent W. Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy. Hoyt's Friend. Justin I. Danny Danster. T.J. M. Treylay the Cray. Christopher B. Damiel R. Jordan L. Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold. Stevie Wags. R.I.P. Squeam. He died as he lived, without context. Princess Yar, Jory S, Jack L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now back in action after Union victory. Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Knee Badger, Panama James, Hadrian, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, Rex Daniel, The White, Deanna De Los Lopez, Cici Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Rico, Calder Comes Cold, shout out to the Cold Come Companions, Frosty Facial, wow. Taylor B, the Vengeful One Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Steven is steep in tea, unevenly, you see? See. Mike K, Lady Taco, and Team Incredulity, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, Agnitty, William W, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Ananarama, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klasowski de Rolo III, J Dragonborn, Splendiferous Dissident, The Sandrian, Ben A, Dave H, Christian S, Acel from the Prison of Elders, Dustin S, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F. DPC is awesome! Shown the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelvaldar. Summer Rose, a.k.a. Grand Terre. Cat C. Misa of House Inzunza. Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid. Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor. B. Perky, always. Pat L. Maxwell J. Lauren H.
Nolani, the coffee barista brewing fighter of Linpial and Bohemia. Serve 16, the Bone Duster. Annie, the Feywild therapist. Skillful Ferret, insert fan art request here. Oh, you know I gotta see your best rendition of Sars the Lizard Man. Connor S. Salil, Weed Goku 69, aka Gunk, at 16, experimenting with drugs. BioQuart 7. Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H. Trub Hop Dropper. Jack Hubert, King of the Mole People under Iron Deep, dressed in blue and fighting his way through a bracket style tournament. Good luck. Lindsay W. Valen, Carlin C. Emily S. Noah the Bullywog Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut. James G. Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. Daddy Master Dandy. Han the Green Teen. Eric B. Marcos. Learned the Balance Druid. Dakota James P. Frida M. Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae King, back on their regularly programmed Fae shenaniganeries. Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian. Maggie S., see you in Chicago. Saw you in Chicago. Hope you had a good time. Holly Hyena. Leah. Giovanni the Fighter. Akash T.
Doofinius.
Russell H. A monk named Dilgo. Yes, the whole thing. Yes, every time. Cody Care.
Keychains, Pentium 2, Processor.
Lorelei the Succubus and Kyra, her busty queen. Matt M. Your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. John Adams, the write-in candidate for 2024. Make the write-in choice. Meg, the mail carrier manager of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. M4L. Austin S. Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls. To get rid of them, turn to page 42. To keep them, turn to page 69. Shane C. Barpo Goodbarrel Barbarian. Welshlander. Garrett G. aka One Big Curd. Mr. D. Dana the Daisy. Ethan B. Havy the Half Orc. Renee the Monster Captain. Box Clifton. Olivia, the enchanting bard who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mounting Crows. Winter Slade. Sammy B., Bohemia's finest linguist. Riley S. Fico. Garrett, the artificer. Anthony, the raddest of dudes. Josh H. Abigail H. Caleb L. The fairies who have been partying nonstop to release hashtag CCC. We are hungover and resting and wishing the best of luck to y'all. Right back at you, fairies. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. Lexi H. MJ, the BFG. Cam, the frog man. Artavius Crass. Gino T. Mama Bell, the silver serpent herself. Tristan, the talentless hunk. BTA Workshop. Shenanigans O'Connor. Mios the Great. Alex K. Joshua S. Alexander. Linz W. Angela Pamela, the forever vindicated. Emma S. Red, the reforged, warforged. Greg F. Aggressively palm muting open strings because frets are for chumps. A cat napping in a sunbeam, listening to a podcast. Nyax, nasty nut. Oh! Shell B, Kenneth's second favorite sprite girl, a level 12 circle of party druid with a once-a-day pinata wild shape. Please do not smash her. Jackson R, T3RHX, official Ned Flanders. Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole for his bestie, Big Bev. Papa Scaddies, Mima Scaddies, oh, it's V. Tommy W, Mike and Lisa sending love to all y'all. Haley the Human, Megan N,
the Big M,
Balnor's best friend, Steve. Stephanie of House Inzunza, Jake's Ramen Chop, R.I.P. Melchior, the brave Leonin warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party. Karjish, Benjamin A., sacrificial otaku, pin name for Callie's cousin, who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bohemia. Jiggy Merlino, Mikkel A., Josh Hole. Oh no, the mechanical yak teams are fighting. Froki, Jacob K., Maple, the shy bookworm, Ashley, Seth E., Billy Batson, Tori the Dragoose, son of Thomas the Blind Bisexual Goose, Bicon, and father of 69 Signets. Real Goose, look him up. Sock Monkey Bob, Jin's Jigging Jizz, joining hashtag CCC. We're reaching new heights, folks. Michael L.S., Jacob P., Nova Cry, Parcel, Dex Riddlewell, Hannah A., Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzburg, Joshua F., and Darius D. Whew, that is all of our elders. Thank you so, so much for listening. If you would like to join this illustrious council, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. That's going to be it for us today. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. Farewell. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.